In 2 Corinthians 9, verses 6 to 8 in the Passion Translation, it's subtitled Hilarious Generosity. And it begins by saying, here's my point. A stingy sower will reap a meager harvest, but the one who sows from a generous spirit will reap an abundant harvest. Let giving flow from your heart, not from a sense of religious duty. Let it spring up freely from the joy of giving, all because God loves hilarious generosity. Yes, God is more than ready to overwhelm you with every form of grace so that you will have more than enough of everything, every moment, and in every way. He will make you overflow with abundance in every good thing you do. Every good. So if you put your hands to it and it's a good thing, God's going to cause it to overflow with abundance because your heart is right. See, we don't encourage you to give, you know, because the Old Testament says you're supposed to tithe and you're supposed to give a tenth. We're a New Testament church. New Testament, it's about giving. What is your heart telling you to give? And you give that. If you want to. If you don't want to, don't give, because the Bible says not grudgingly or of necessity. And I generally get in trouble with the or of necessity part because I always wind up saying, so if, you know, if you're believing for a new car, a new house, whatever it is, don't think I'm going to go down to church and I'm going to give them a generous offering and then I'll get what I want. That's out of necessity. And the Bible tells us not out of necessity. Give what's in your heart to give, and God will take that and run with it. And the devourer will be rebuked for you. It won't matter what's going on with everyone else. You will be fine. We were talking, Pastor Ed had a conversation with someone, and they wanted to know how the church was doing, or specifically how the church did last fiscal year because of, you know, attendance being off and people not coming out and all of that sort of thing. And Pastor Ed told them, so we're 20% ahead of where we were this time last year. And the person said, that's incredible. He said, I talk to people and they're 20 and 30% behind the previous year. We're 20% ahead. We're not bragging. We're just telling you, we didn't go into a panic when everything happened. You know why we didn't go into a panic? Jesus said, in this world, you will have tribulations. He said, but be not dismayed. I have overcome the world. And one translation says, I have taken away its power to harm you. So God promised Pastor Clinton and Pastor Sarah, he said, the people will come and the money will come. So you know what we do? We sit down and we rest in that. We don't sit down with our legs crossed. We do what we are supposed to do, and God takes care of the rest. And I want to encourage all of you, you do what God told you to do. He'll take care of all the details. You just have to be available and obedient. That's all that's necessary. So, Father, I thank you for the hearts of the people to give for kingdom building in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, that they love you and they love Redeeming Love Christian Center, and they want to see Redeeming Love Christian Center fulfill your purpose for this church in the earth. And we thank you, Lord, because you are faithful, you're going to do just what you said. You're going to return it to them, a good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. And what excites me is that's not why they're giving. They're not giving because of what they're going to get back. They're giving because their hearts are turned towards you. And I thank you for each and every one of them, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Now they'll put up, if it's not up already, the ways you can give. Our preference is you use one of the electronic methods. because it just makes it easier for the ministry. We don't have to have anyone count it and do paper ledgers and that sort of thing. When you do it online, it comes from your accountant to our account, a couple of keystrokes, the accountant has his paperwork, and we're finished. Amen? But I know you didn't come here to hear me talk about giving. And as I said before, you know, it's interesting, we sang the song, you know, about walking in the light and that Jesus being the light of the world. But I found something out. We are the light of this world, not Jesus. And don't get up and run out. I promise to show you what I'm talking about, but I'll just preface it with saying this. Jesus said to his disciples, "You're the salt of the earth." And then he looked at them and he said, "You are the what?" What did he say? "You are the light of this world, a city set upon a hill that cannot be hidden." And he said, "So let your light so shine that they may see your good works." But I'll get to more detail. But first go with me to Hebrews 12. We're going to start there. If you need a title, the title is "You Are the Light." One of the things that I do often is I think about what's going on in this world, and I think about what my responsibility is, not as a citizen of this world, but as a Christian. That's what I look at. That's the way I think. I am a Christian. Before I'm anything else, I am a Christian, and I have to. There's a set of rules that I have to live by. I'm not going to stand in front of you and say, "And I live by everyone, and I've never missed it," because I'd be lying. I'm a human being. I miss it. Sometimes I miss it when I know it. You know. And yeah, I know it's silly. It's like you're supposed to get off at exit 304, and you look at it, and you say, "I know that, but I keep going." And you can create some issues for yourself. But the purpose, my point is, I'm human, but I choose to look at things from the point of being a Christian. And when I say everything, I mean everything. Race, politics, you name it, I look at it from the point, I'm not black, I'm not white, I'm not Republican, I'm not Democrat, I'm a Christian. And what is my responsibility as a Christian? So in Hebrews 12, first three verses, I'm sharing it from the Passion Translation. It reads, "As for us, we have all of these great witnesses who encircle us like clouds. So we must let go of every wound that has pierced us and the sin we so easily fall into. Then we will be able to run life's marathon race with passion and determination, for the path has been already marked out before us. We look away from the natural realm and we fasten our gaze onto Jesus, who birthed faith within us and who leads us forward into faith's perfection. His example is this: because his heart was focused on the joy of knowing that you would be his, he endured the agony of the cross and conquered his humiliation and now sits exalted at the right hand of the throne. So consider carefully how Jesus faced such intense opposition from sinners who oppose their own souls, so that you won't become worn down and cave in under life's pressures." And we've just come through years of people being worn down and caving in under life's pressures. Life is not wearing me out. And it's not going to cause me to cave in. And in about 15, 20 minutes, I'm going to tell you why you're really worn out. And you're going to be surprised when you find out. God said to me, and you need to go online to, there's a series, Run the Gauntlet, parts 1 and 2, and listen to it. It'll give you more depth of what I'm about to share this right now, where when I asked God, what's the word, what's the theme, he said to me, TikTok. And I thought he was talking about, you know, TikTok, the app. And I was glad when he wasn't, because I thought I was going to have my cousin and my grandchildren teach me TikTok so I could do whatever. But fortunately, I don't have to. But God was talking about time moving on when he said TikTok. He said, there are too many hands off the plow. Now, don't get nervous with that, because I know Jesus said, you know, whoever puts the hands to the plow and looks back is not fit for the kingdom. But he didn't say you're on the plow looking back. He said too many have taken their hands off the plow. That means too many believers have been looking at things going on in this world and were stopped in their tracks, and didn't continue doing the things they were supposed to do because they were wondering what the heck is going on. I wonder what's going on, but I don't spend time thinking about it, because when I think about it, I know right away what's going on. The devil is acting like the devil. We have to act like Christians, and it won't matter what the devil does. You say that, make that sound simple. It really is. It really is. Principles and fundamentals work, whether they're for the right, for good or bad. If it's a principle, if it's a fundamental, it's going to work. You know, I'll take a minute and share it this way, for those that may not understand what I'm talking about. I like sports. I like watching football games. But every single football game that I have ever watched, every single one, at any level, there's a play that works that should never work. But it works most of the time. And that is, the quarterback gets the ball, pivots, sends a pitch to the running back who grabs it, runs around and down the sideline. That play should never work, ever. Because the fundamental movement of a defensive end, when he's standing there, it's not this way charging the quarterback. What he's supposed to do is go forward and turn. They call that box the end. That's the principle. You turn so you can see what's going on in the backfield, and you would see that runner coming at you. But if you're going this way, and he's going this way, by the time you see him and you turn and get there, he's past you. That should never work. But it practically works every time. Why? Players are not fundamentally sound. And we make similar mistakes as believers because we're not fundamentally sound. We don't study the fundamentals. We read the good stuff. We read the exciting stuff. But I'll tell you right now, learning fundamentals are boring, because you have to do this. You know what I'm talking about. You have to do the same thing over and over and over and over, not until you get it right, but until you never get it wrong. You do it till it becomes instinctive, and it's boring, and people don't like to do it. But there's a very basic, fundamental, very basic principle about Christians that we fail to understand. We are the light. That's the fundamental. That's the principle. We are the light. Why is that important? Well, you're never going to learn how to act like the light if you don't know you are the light. And let me ask you this question. I'm not setting anybody up. This is a trick question. What is the purpose of light? Just shout it out. To see, to dispel the darkness, anything else? I mean, you're all right. What was that? To live. You've been looking at my notes? I came up with Dispel the Darkness, ability to see where you're going or where you should be going. And light has also been referenced as revelation. You know, you ever hear the term, we need to shed some light on this. It means I need a revelation as to what I'm seeing. I need a revelation as to what I'm doing. I need a revelation on how to handle this issue. That's all of that is light. So look at 2 Corinthians 4. I'm going to share this in the Amplified Bible. And no, I very rarely stick with just one translation. When I'm preparing, I read just whatever scripture I share with you, I've read it in a number of translations, and then ask the Holy Ghost to tell me which is the one he wants me to share with the people, because that's the one that you'll understand. And it's not, my purpose is not to stand up here and say things, it's to say things that you understand. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6, in the Amplified Classic Bible, it says, "For God, who said, 'Let light shine out of the darkness,' has shone in our hearts so as to beam forth the light for the illumination of the knowledge of the majesty and glory of God as it is manifest in the person and is revealed in the face of Jesus Christ the Messiah." So God said clearly, my light is to be a revelation as to who I am and who Jesus is. And it's also the revelation as to who you are. And someone said, light is necessary for life. You're absolutely right. Turn to Genesis 1. Now you're thinking, well, we're going to get to the part, I'm going to get to it. You'll know you're the light. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. And the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters, and God said, "Let there be light." Notice, he didn't say, "Let there be animals, let there be people." He said, "Let there be life." At that time, point in time, the earth was a mess. And God wanted to restore it. And the first thing he did was establish the presence of light. We need to think about that. Why is that important? In anything that you're facing, the first thing you need to do is establish the presence of light. Because as someone shared, light is necessary for things to grow. You want the answer, you need to shed light on it. So you need to first, before you do anything else, establish the presence of light. The verse says, He called in light. It says, "And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness." So God is the one that said, "I'm bringing light in, and there must be a difference, easily distinguishable difference between light and darkness. You need to know this is light, this is dark." No reference to the people sitting in the room. Okay? He called in the light and made a distinction between light and darkness because he wanted a different scene. Now, did you wonder why God thought it was important to establish light before anything? Because I did. I think about things like that. I have different thoughts. I think, why are hot dogs sold 10 in a pack and hot dog buns sold 8 in a pack? You know, I think about things like that. Yeah, I don't know about you. Well, I'm just being honest with you because it just doesn't make sense to me. So I think about it. But 1 John 1, verse 5 in the King James says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him and declare unto you, that God is light." God, it is said to say, God is light. And it says, in him is no darkness at all. So before God could recreate the earth, he had to establish his presence in the earth. When he said, let there be light, he was saying, let my presence show up. And everybody's going to know that it's me. That's why he had to separate the light from the darkness. Because God is light. And he said, this world needs light. And he knew that his presence was necessary, not only to bring life, but to maintain. So he came up with this plan. Let us make man, the Message Bible says, let us make human beings in our image, make them reflecting our nature. Well, what is God's nature? Light. Love also. But we just read, God is light. He said, I'm going to make man in my image and after my likeness. So that means all of the attributes of God was placed in man, and man was placed in the garden and placed in control. And he said, man is going to be responsible for everything. The entire earth is going to be under man's control. So man, since my presence, my light is what's going to keep everything, is what's going to maintain everything, then man has to have what I have. Because if he doesn't have what I have, earth won't listen to him. So man was made to reflect the light that God is. And it was the first thing that God established. And I saw a formula there. In any problem, in any situation, I don't care what it is, first thing you add to it is light. You establish light, and the answers will come. You establish light. How do you do that? You recognize and you understand who you are in Christ. And you pray the Father in faith. And you read his word, and the answers will just flow. Because there'll be this light connection. So no matter what the problem is, the presence of light will be recognized. It will be. You ever notice that sometimes when you get all upset, wound up, you'll put on some Christian music, and you calm down. That's why when I read about these people that are demonically possessed and they do these horrific things, they're not sitting down listening to Christian music before they do it. They're listening to hardcore stuff. Why? Because it gets them ready to do what they want to do. We listen to music that lifts up our Father God, that brings us into worship with Jesus, and that's the attitude that we take on. Because light comes and pushes away any darkness. So in any situation, we have to let the light come and push away the darkness, and truth can come in. Well, actually, the truth is always there, but when you push away the darkness, now you can see it. It's like trying to read a book in a dark room. You know, the information is there, but you can't see it. You have to shed some light on it, and then you can see it. Light has to be established. If you're wondering why I'm using paper notes, one of my iPads locked up on me, and the other one was up here for 2 weeks. So I said, look, they had pen and paper before they had iPads, so I'll be okay. Now, the presence of light had to reveal divine power and authority, and that's where we as Christians come into play. Look at John 1. I'm going to share a few verses down to verse 14. I may read all of them. In the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by him, and without him was not anything made that was made. Verse 4. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. Need you to understand that. Jesus' life became light for mankind. So when Jesus gave mankind life, he gave them light, which became a life of walking in the light. We think it's an external light that we're walking in. No, we're walking in the light that's emanating out of us, because Jesus gave, when he gave us life, that life became our light. It says, the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not. And I'm going to talk about that scripture in a few minutes. It said, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. John the Baptist's purpose was not to be a light as such, but to point everyone to recognize this Jesus is the light. And if you receive him, you'll get the light also. Verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name, on his name. So everyone who received Jesus got exactly what Jesus had. It's that simple. And if he was light and you received him, then what? Guess what you become? Light. Let me jump over a few things. Let me go to Matthew 5. Because this clearly states the fundamental. And I'll start with verse 13. I'm in the King James Version. I'm also going to share it in the message. Jesus talking to his disciples, which means when he's talking to his disciples, he's talking to us. He said, ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is good, thenceforth good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. He didn't say, let my light shine. He said, let your light shine. Let the light that I gave you shine, and shine to the point where everyone sees the good that you're doing, because when they see that, they will glorify your Father, because they know there's no way you could have done that on your own. You have to be powered by something divine. And because you choose to call it God, because that's who it is, they'll give glory to whatever you say it is. Because you're demonstrating you are the light. Things happen when Christians show up. Or I should say, things are supposed to happen when Christians show up. Listen to it in the Message Bible. Let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness and will end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. Now listen to his logic. If I make you light bearers, You don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. He said, if I want this microphone to be used, I'm not going to take the microphone and hide it somewhere over here so nobody can find it. I'm going to take the microphone and I'm going to put it on a mic stand so everyone can see it. And everyone knows that's where the mic goes. Jesus said, if I made you a light, you don't think I'm going to hide you. You don't think I'm going to put you under a bucket. No, I'm putting you on a light stand. And he didn't stop there. He said, now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand. So in other words, using the same analogy, he said, I'm not leaving you down here. I made you light, and I'm taking you, and I'm putting you on a stand on a hilltop. That's what he said. He said, and now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. That's what he's saying. I put you in a position so that everybody can see you. Let them see you. Let them see you doing what I've told you to do. Because that's what will register with them. He said, keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. Understand the fundamental. We, not Jesus, are the light of the world. We are. That's why he put us on a lampstand. That's why we're on a hill. Because our job is to lead people to the same Jesus that we were led to. Our job is to throw light on every situation so people can see what's really there. Because our light penetrates darkness, penetrates fog, penetrates covering, penetrates smoke, penetrates any deception. If we would just let our light shine instead of becoming a part of the darkness. We've been called out of darkness into his marvelous light. And when we went into his marvelous light, guess what we became? Light. Look at John 9:5. So I want you to see a scriptural reference, not just take my word for it. When I said, we, not Jesus, are the light of the world, I don't want you to think I'm putting down Jesus. I'm just showing you what he said. John 9, verse 5, King James Version. Let me ask this before I read it. Where is Jesus now? Right. Okay. So he's in you. Yes, he's in us. But the Bible says that, you know, he ascended and he's seated at the right hand of the Father. In John 9, verse 5, Jesus said, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. He's not in the world. He's seated at the right hand of the Father. But he says, as long as he's in the world, in the Passion Translation, says, as long as I'm with you, my life is the light that pierces the world's darkness. He's with the Father. What's going to pierce the darkness? The light he gave us. The light he gave us. And in Matthew 5, verse 14, he said it explicitly, you are the light of the world. And in John 20, verse 21, Jesus said again, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even so I send you. Now, what did the Father God send Jesus to be? Light. And he said, the way the Father sent me, I'm now sending you. So I was sent to be light. I was sent to have my light pierce the darkness. I was sent that by me letting my light shine, men will give glory to God. Now I'm sending you, and you have to do the same thing the same way. Nothing different. In him was life, and that life is the light of men. We have to stop using. This is one of those things where I have to tell you I didn't bring any ice bags for your toes. But we have to stop using that tired old excuse. Well, I'm not led to talk to that person. God is leading me in a different direction. He's not going to lead you away from what he said. If we're to let our light shine, why would he lead us away from that? Because we don't like the person? And one thing that, well, I'll just say it the way, it just irks me. When I hear the term, well, I'm going to love them from a distance. Jesus said, let your light so shine before men that they can see your good works. How are they going to see it from a distance? I know, I just figured it out. Those Bell & Howell tech binoculars, right, that you get for $19.99. You can buy those on and go searching for the light. If light, now think about, just think about it this way. If light is necessary for life, then a godly life should be injecting life into people. But if there are people that we don't like for whatever reason, what we're saying is let them die because I ain't giving them my light. Folks, let me tell you something. We are not authorized by God or Jesus to determine who deserves to see our light and who doesn't. He said, let your light so shine. Right now, all the lights up and you can see me. And hopefully you'll let your light shine before me because you like me. At least I'm guessing that you like me. Okay. But just as an illustration, or just not picking on anybody. But Donald, would you stand for a moment? Now let's say just as an illustration, everybody said this is an illustration. But let's say I found out that Donna's been saying things about me that aren't too pleasant. And so I don't like her. So I'm not giving her any light. I'm leaving her in the darkness because she did something I don't like. So that means I have to, as far as she's concerned, I have to cover my light so she doesn't get any. I have to cover it. Do you stand? Thank you, Donald. Would you stand for me for a moment? Now, he's okay. He's okay. But he's, you know, I don't love him, but I like him. He can have a little bit of light. So I'll give him some of my light. Okay. Because I don't want them totally out, but he'll get some. Then I have these folks right here. I don't know them. Would you mind standing for me? I don't know them. So I may give them the benefit of doubt and give them a little more light because I got to get to know them, you know, and see if they're worthy of the light that I have to give. Maybe if I know them and already they're laughing, so I like that already. So let's give them a little more light. Okay, because I like that part. All right, thank you. You may be seated. We don't have the authority to treat people like this. Which everybody's supposed to get full light. No matter what. No matter what they do, no matter what they say, whether you like them, dislike them, whether they hate you, hurt you, it does not matter. Jesus never gave us any reason to turn off our lights. And when you think about it, really, we can't turn them off because they didn't come with a switch. That's why Jesus said, don't put it under a basket. The only thing you can try and do is cover it because you cannot turn it off. You can't. Because you could turn the light on and off, then you have control of God. Listen to this. Matthew 5. It's all part of the fundamental. You got to know it. Starting with verse 43, Message Bible. You're familiar with the old written law, love your friend and its unwritten companion, hate your enemy. Jesus said, I'm challenging that. They got a problem with that. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Let them, your enemies, bring out the best in you, not the worst. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the supple moves of prayer, for then you are working out your true selves, your God-created selves. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish to everyone, regardless the good and bad, the nice and the nasty. If your light is hidden or turned, well, you can't turn it off, so I'll just say hidden, it means you're not being true to who you are. That's what it means. You're not being true to who you are in Christ, because the Christian has been designated by Jesus as being the light of the world. Fundamentally, that's who we are. And anything less than that is unacceptable. He said, no, but, you know, the devil gets in there. The devil ain't got nothing to do with this. I can say it correctly. The devil has nothing to do with this. Ain't got nothing to do with this. Sometimes I talk devilish so he'll understand. Okay. He doesn't. The devil cannot diminish or turn off your light. The only one who can alter your light is you. You're the only one. How do I know that? Because you know my favorite scripture, Luke 10:19. Behold, I've given you authority and power to tread on snakes and scorpions, physical and mental strength and ability over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm you. So since I have all the power, since I have power over all the power of the enemy, how can he do anything without my consent to me, about me, concerning me? He can do nothing unless I allow him. So the devil can't stop you in any way. And Jesus said, let your light so shine. He said, let your light shine. That means you have to allow your light to shine. So if he's telling us to allow your light to shine so that men will see our good works, it lets us know we have a choice. I can allow my light to shine, or I cannot allow it to shine. And it's only based on how I feel about the person. So if I make the choice to not allow my light to shine, what I'm saying is that I'm only going to shine on people I determine to be just. If you're unjust, you deserve to be in the darkness. And as I said earlier, we weren't given that authority. When we receive the light of the world, it's our responsibility to allow it to shine. Now, I told you I was going to tell you a little more about the scripture in John 1:5, where it said, "The light shineth into the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." And we all know what the word "comprehended" means, and we believe it means understanding, which it does in our vocabulary. But if you take the time to research that scripture in the original Greek and Aramaic texts, you'll come up with a different meaning. And so that in English, in King James, says, "And the light shineth in the darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." But according to the original Greek language, it reads, "And the light shined in the darkness, but the darkness simply didn't have the ability to overcome it, take it down, subdue it, or dominate it." So in other words, folks, the light that Jesus gave you, devil can't do anything with it. He just doesn't have the ability to do anything about the light, because when Jesus imparted light, he was imparting himself. Just like when God said, "Let there be light," he was imparting his presence on the earth. Jesus was imparting his presence in us. We're supposed to impart our presence in any situation that we walk into. Anything that rolls up on us gets light. You know how you get light sometimes, it's so bright you got to put your hands up too. That's how bright we're supposed to be. I like Star Trek, the original. I tried the other ones. They're okay. I like the original Star Trek series. There was one series where they had these parasite-like creatures that were taking over and controlling the way people think and eventually getting them to go mad and kill themselves. They found out the only thing that could kill it was intense light. And it was the light, and the way they had to get to the light was they had to get close to the sun. To them, it was the S-U-N. The only way we can overcome issues is to get close to the S-O-N. And we get the same light, the same intensity that just wipes out anything that's darkness. It just wipes it out. We won't do that if we don't understand that we are the light. Circumstances are never going to stop coming. If you want to live right now, you say, "I want to live a life free from any demonic influence," then we need to say goodbye, plan your memorial service, because you'll have to go to heaven. Because in this world, you will have tribulations. That's what Jesus said. So there's always, it feels like something's always happening, doesn't it? Because it is. That's why we should always have our light shining. Because stuff is always happening. Remember I tell you why you're worn out? You ever encounter a person, you're dealing with this person, and it gets to the point where when someone mentions a person's name, you say, "Oh man, I don't know what I'm going to do about this person. I can't stand them. I don't even want to hear their name. I don't even want to talk about them." I saw something early this morning. Go to Jeremiah 20, please. Verse 9, it's one of those happy scriptures we dance around to. It's like fire. Shut up in my bones, it's like fire. But listen to what Jeremiah was saying. Wish I had time to talk about most of the chapter, but in verse 9, he said, "But if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. In other words, Jeremiah was saying, Jeremiah was, lack of a better term, annoyed, because he would open his mouth, he had to call a spade, and every time he'd say something, people would get on his case, and he was getting a whole lot of grief, and he was at the point where he said, I'm not speaking about the Lord anymore, because every time I do, people don't like me. And so he said, but if I say I'll never mention the Lord or speak in his name, his word burns in my heart like a fire. It's like a fire in my bones. I am worn out trying to hold it in. I can't do it. You are wearing yourself out because instead of letting your light so shine, you're trying to hold it under a bushel. As far as this individual, this circumstance is concerned, and it's wearing you out. Because the light that's in you is designed to be seen. And it's trying to come out, and you're holding it in. It wants to come out, and you're holding it in. It wants to come out, you're holding it in. And you can't. Each time, a little more and a little more, and you have to use more energy to not do what's right than it would take to just do it. You know how much energy it would take for you to let your light shine? None. Because it was designed to shine. So you don't have to do anything about it. Guess what I have to do in order for you to have sound during this service? Nothing. It's already been provided. Josh does it. Now, I'd get worn out trying to keep Josh from coming and doing what he was sent to do. I can tell you, here he is again. He's always up here. I don't know why he come up here. No, he's sent here to do a job, to help. You were sent to do a job to help. And obviously, that person that's aggravating you needs you, and you need them. What do you need to? You need to know that the light you've been given is stronger than the darkness that they're operating in. And the only way you're going to know that is to let your light shine in the darkness, understanding that there ain't a thing darkness can do about your light. It can't stop it. It can't diminish it. Now think about this. I'm getting ready to close. John 1, verses 5 to 7. And this is the message of promise, which we have heard from him. I'm in the Amplified Bible. And now are reporting to you. God is light, and there is no darkness in him at all. No, not in any way. So if we say we are partakers together and enjoy fellowship with him when we live and move and are walking about in darkness, we are both speaking falsely and do not live and practice the truth which the gospel presents. But if we are really living and walking in the light as he himself is in the light, we have true unbroken fellowship with one another, and the blood of Christ Jesus, his son, cleanses, removes us from all sin and guilt, keeps us cleansed from sin in all its forms and manifestations. If we're really living and walking in the light, we'll have unbroken fellowship with one another. You know why? You'll be in the light too. And we'll be walking amongst each other in the light. And that will keep us from sin. It'll keep us from guilt. it'll keep us from disliking one another. We'll all be in the same light. The light dispels darkness, so you won't see any faults in each other or in one another, because we're in the light. Now remember, the light, the likeness of God, must be established in the midst of the circumstance, then life can come in. God is light, Jesus is light. Jesus imparted life and told us that we are his light of the world. And in addition to that, we are the proof that we're God's children. And our light is to reveal the way, the truth, and the life. Now I'm going to close with this quote from this very famous person, Mr. Miyagi. Everybody know Mr. Miyagi? He said to the Karate Kid, "Focus. Your best karate still inside. Now time to let it out. I'm saying to you, focus. The best light is still inside. Now's the time to let it out so it can shine." As you're running your gauntlet, remember, folks, you're the light of the world. You're not focusing on what you're going through as you're running the gauntlet. You're not looking at, boy, this one has even bigger club than the next one. Your focus is, I am the light. Like we're saying, the beautiful light. You're telling people, come where the dewdrops of mercy shine bright. And you shine all around them by day and by night, because like Jesus, you're the light of the world. Father, we thank you. We give you all glory, honor, and praise. Thank you for giving us a very simple fundamental. We are the light of the world. And we thank you that we have your written word, but we also have the Holy Ghost to guide us in the truth, all the truth associated with us being the light of the world. So we'll know that as lights, how we're to respond. Father, we repent for the way we've been treating some people, keeping them at a distance, pushing them off, refusing to go in their presence because we don't like their position, their beliefs, or just them in general. But we found out today none of that matters, because you reign on the just and the unjust. And in Romans 1:14, you told us to embrace with open arms other believers, even if we do not agree with what they say. You told us to embrace them because they're in the light like we're in the light, and we're supposed to walk in the light and have unbroken fellowship one with another. That means there isn't anything that another believer can do or say that will cause us to stop speaking to them, to stop fellowshipping with them, to stop loving them. That's not what we are called to do or who we are called to be. You said a new commandment you give us, love one another the same way you loved us. We are to love one another because that's how everyone will recognize that we're your disciples, when they see the love we have for each other. If they're not seeing the love, they're seeing darkness, because love can't abide in darkness. Love can only abide in the light. Thank you for showing us how to stay in the light so that we can stay light of this world. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Say, like Jesus, I am the light of the world. Turn to somebody, anybody, and say, like Jesus, you are the light of the world. Turn to somebody else. We have a responsibility to stay in the light and have unbroken fellowship with one another. Turn to somebody else. Say, I love you. Did you get it? What did you get? You sing that song, You Are the Light, the Beautiful Light. You didn't know it was a song about you. You have to understand, folks, that we are the light. But the light in us is the Jesus that's in us. When he gave us his life, the scripture says that clearly, in him was life, and that life was the light of men. So when we go to Jesus and we ask him to come live in us, we become light because he comes in. And we have to understand that. And we have to one other thing. I may not have made it as clearly as I wanted to. When we say walk in the light, not talking externally like I have spotlights on me. The light that I'm walking in is a light that's coming out of me. It's coming out of me. So wherever I go, it's coming out of me. You don't know it's coming out of me. You just see light. But it's my responsibility to understand that if I want to keep being the light that I was called to be, I have to make sure the light is always in me. And it's not a rechargeable battery. It never wears out. But just like I have on clothes, I have to cover the light. If this is the light and the light's supposed to be out visible, I can cover it. Because for whatever reason, I don't want my light to shine just about now. I don't, because of what I want to do, I don't want people to know that I'm a Christian. So I got to keep my light covered. And let me tell you something. Like we saw in Jeremiah, that's a lot of work. And you wear yourself out trying to keep from doing what you were created to do. Keep from doing what you were created to do. Get frustrated. You like trying to make scrambled eggs in an oven. Now that goes on a stove, on a burner. You try and scramble in the oven, you burn your arm. Trying to beat the eggs around. You get all hot from the oven, and it takes you forever to do it. And you wind up, you wind up more with the egg souffle or something instead of scrambled eggs because they're not designed for an oven. Your light was not designed to be covered. It was designed to be exposed to everyone. Not just those who say, I want to see your light. They don't have a choice. If they see you, they see your light. That's why, and one of the songs that we used to sing, Arise, Shine, for the Light has come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon me. You are the light of this world. I was going to say, don't get involved in things that don't involve you being a light. But I was arrested from saying that. When anything comes up that even tries to suggest there is no light, you need to be there with your light shining. As living proof that the light has come. The light has come, the true light. As I said earlier, I'm not standing before you as a black person, as a Democrat, as a Republican, as an activist, or an inactivist. I'm standing in front of you as a Christian. That's who I be. Period. Is there anyone here who's never received Christ as Savior? Can't become the light until you receive Christ and become what 2 Corinthians 5 talks about, a new creature in Christ Jesus. You need to become a light being. And it's very easy to do that. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you'll be saved. You'll become a light being. And I just want the honor of just leading you in that confession. So if you're here, just raise your hand and we'll all say the same confession along with you. Because we just want to make sure that everybody here, we can't fellowship in the light if we don't all have the light. Is there anyone here? Amen. As always, thank you. I appreciate you allowing me to minister and to share the way God would have me do it. You know, I know I'm not a conventional guy. I've never been. I don't think I ever will be. And I don't have a problem with that. I hope you don't also. But if you do, light, because I'm not changing. Amen. Amen. Say it one more time for me. Say, I am the light. The light of Christ is in me, shining like the sun. The S-O-N. Amen.